Oh, hello. Didn't see you there. It's Joe and Mike from buildassetsonline.com. Welcome to the show. Here, we're going to talk about the archetypes, the internet marketing, make money online, or just general life advice archetypes that exist and how they manifest themselves into people that we coach, people that we meet, and how it really holds them back from making the income that they want to gain financial independence.
And I think we even fall into some of these categories, certainly myself. And not for nothing, there's going to be good aspects to these and there's going to be bad aspects. So we're going to cover it all, the good, the bad, the ugly. But most importantly, we're going to have a lot of fun. Because I think this is something that we talk about from time to time, but we've never really fleshed it out into, you know, a live stream extravaganza.
Absolutely.
We're going to do that.
Absolutely. This should be a fun one. I mean, no one's going to watch it, but
I know, because it doesn't have dropshipping in the name, but
there's no dropshipping in the name. There's no dropshipping products. There's no like monetary figure in the title. So.
Oh, yeah. Like a million?
Yeah. So well, people are leaving already. All right. Well, let's.
So what do we got going on?
Let's get right into it. So this, Mike came up with this idea. He came up with a bunch of the archetypes. And I made this thumbnail for it. Because this is really a culmination of the internet make money online personalities that exist. And so we got Andrew Tate here on the left. We got Tony Robbins in the middle. We got CoffeeZilla, which is an interesting one. We got Liver King here. I don't think he really does business stuff, but life advice. And we got Gary V here. So these aren't the archetypes exactly, but I think they definitely influence how people become the way they do.
Well, Joe, a lot of what inspired me to want to do this was when you were talking about CoffeeZilla, how he was on Lex Fridman, and he was, you know, basically shitting on doing online courses and stuff like that. And I feel like that represents a lot of terrible mindset, like a lot of his followers adopt because of CoffeeZilla. And I was actually, I then saw part of the interview where he was talking about Brian Rose from London Real. Did you see that?
I did, yeah.
I went down a whole rabbit hole with that. That to me was pretty crazy and hilarious.
Well, I thought that was one of the, better things that he exposed, because I feel like Brian Rose is really, he was tripping about the Freedom platform.
Oh yeah, no, that was certainly a scam from the looks of it. And you know, he was selling courses and stuff. And I was watching a interview with Brian Rose's jiu-jitsu teacher. Did you see that?
No.
So they used to co-host a London Real podcast together, and then, you know, one day Brian's basically just axed him, and it was a whole thing. And you know, one of the main comments in that interview was like, the key takeaways here: don't buy online courses, go to the gym, and like just like a bunch of bullshit, right? So the idea of not buying online courses because one person is selling you some bullshit is just, you know, you can't let one bad apple spoil the bunch, as I like to say. Not that these are all bad apples. I mean, I think there's great things about Andrew Tate. I think there's great things about Tony Robbins, CoffeeZilla. I don't really know or care about Liver King. I mean, he's obviously had a lot of success in his own right. He's had a lot of successful supplement companies. Gary Vee is obviously very successful. But the point is, when you take these ideologies and these archetypes we're going to show you, you take them too far, the result can be detrimental. Because we're all about results, Joe. I think it pisses us off when we have students or, you know, just people around us that say they want to do things, but don't wind up getting them done.
Right. Results are really, at the end of the day, the only thing that matters.
Right.
because if you don't have the results, then what do you got?
And everybody wants to say that they're results oriented. What are you doing over there, Joe? What are you looking?
I got a stain on my.
You're spit bathing something on the live stream.
I'm sorry. I got a little stain. I don't want it to stick to the desk.
You got strawberry drippings?
No.
Anyway, get started with the archetypes, we got a boy Tim in here. So you got to get back on your bullshit sometimes. That's true. M. Zuber said success is not the same for everyone. True, I guess. Justin said yo-yo. So hopefully more people come on to this, but if not, listen, I'll talk all day about this into the ether, because back in the day, that's what we used to do. We used to just talk to each other about this shit. So whether we got one person in here, five people in here, it doesn't matter. This is just what's going through my head anyway. So let's get started. Why don't we? What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
But archetype number one. What is this?
Is this the theorizer?
You're right, Joe. This is the theorizer. So what is the theorizer?
Well, basically, you wrote these out, so I wanted to give you the opportunity to read them. But the theorizer, someone that thinks that learning all the next steps and all the scenarios is what's going to help them succeed. And I definitely have a lot of students like this. And they usually don't succeed.
I mean, I think we've fallen into this category as well to a certain degree.
No, we don't.
At one point in our – not right now.
Never. We've never fallen into being a theorizer. Because I'm just saying when I say the people don't succeed, the people I see that are theorizers, they will ask probably like book's length's worth of questions and then not do anything. And we have never done that. We've always been do first, ask questions later, for the most part. People will spend months and months and months doing what I just said and not do anything, literally.
That's true. And I mean, with all these, again, I think there's obviously some good points to them. And there's reasons why people adopt these mindsets. But when it comes to like doing dropshipping or doing blogging or, you know, anything that involves making money online, these things can set you back. Why? Being a theorizer can be good when you already know what you're doing. You're already at some level of mastery, because a theorizer is going to try and figure out all the next steps so that in their mind, when they, you know, when they're walking down the path, something pops up, they're going to say, oh, you know, I know what to do here because I thought about it beforehand, or I asked a question about it beforehand, or, you know, I researched it beforehand. When in reality, it never really happens like that. I feel like your brain doesn't absorb information well when it comes to doing things like that. Do you agree?
Yes, I do. And I actually think one of my weak points is that I'm not enough of a theorizer. Maybe not in business type stuff, but in like other stuff. Like I feel like I don't have enough time to do like adequate theorizing and researching. So I really neglect it. So I think that hurts me in some areas of life.
Yeah, I would say that actually I've gone to the total opposite spectrum of this, where the whole idea of thinking steps ahead, I have like resistance to it now because I know that it's going to stop me from taking action. Like, yeah, I feel like I have so many things to do when it comes to online business or whatever, that if I even start thinking about what I'm going to do aside from what I have to do now, it's just going to bog me down.
Yeah.
You have to focus on what you have to do presently. And if you take up, you know, that mental space, give that mental energy over to things that you don't have to think about right now, it's going to result in you doing a shit job or just not doing stuff that you have to do. It's going to result in you not taking like the next step.
Right. Perfect example. Perfect example. I was today I was trying to, you know, we're trying to list a new website on Empire Flippers. I knew I had to do a little bit of you know, like tedious work on it this morning. And my wife was like talking to me about something else. And in my head, I was getting frustrated. I was like, I can't hear this right now because I have to go do this. Like I knew it was like such a like the next big obstacle. and I knew I had to get rid of it. Yeah. And I knew I had to make the thumbnail for the street. So I couldn't, I literally couldn't absorb any other things that I had to plan or do at that moment.
Yeah. And in the beginning, especially, I feel like when you're first starting out, you have the biggest obstacles, like making a website. If you've never done that before, that's actually a pretty big obstacle because you have to go in there and like tinker and figure every little detail out. When you go make websites after that, it's easy because you have the reference for it and you can just even like download the theme and, you know, re-upload and stuff like that. That's easy. That's a smaller obstacle. But you got what I'm saying? In the beginning, you have these big obstacles. And if you're thinking about what you're going to do afterwards, you're going to half-ass what you have to do now.
Absolutely.
Read some of these comments here. Anyway, so that's the first one, Joe.
But look at what M. Zuber says. He says, I think there are many ways to make money online. People get trapped and they lack clarity, and therefore they are unable to focus on one thing. Well, that's the key downfall of the theorizer, I would say, because if you're not focusing on one thing at a time, like Mike said, getting your first website off the ground, you're not going to get it done well, and then it's all just going to fall apart.
Yeah, and we actually cover this more in some other archetypes. And these can certainly blend together. But these are certain traits that you know, we've seen throughout the years. So let's see here. Behind this. Oh, wait. Whoops.
Wait, so wait. MM says that's because you guys are action takers. Grant Cardone, 10X, Gary V, hustle levels. I don't think that's true. Now, we do take action, but I think the hustle levels and the 10X things are greatly exaggerated.
Yeah.
Because at some point, you can't even, like, you can't hustle all day 10 hours a day making content. Like, maybe you can, but it feels like there's no point to it.
Like, yeah, there becomes a certain amount of time or a certain level you get to where just doing shit for the sake of doing things is not what is going to help you. Sometimes you need to just take a break, not do anything, and then almost let the dust settle for you to realize the next important thing you have to do. And that's why a lot of times when like I've taken vacations or something, that's always sparked another level of, you know, 10X growth in the business has been taking vacations sometimes. Yeah. Everything drops and you realize, what should I be doing right now?
Yeah, and I'm typically pretty averse to, like, I don't know, like, there's nothing to, unless we're going to start a completely new business, I would say, you know, we wouldn't hit those sort of hustle levels.
Yeah.
Because there's not much, like, we can learn, I feel like.
Yeah, we're really not hustlers, to be honest. So we shouldn't join Hustlers University. But I mean, back in the day, we used to hustle for sure. But
well, that's what you have to do in the beginning.
Yeah.
But the hustling, I feel like, is the learning. I feel like when I made my first website, I was really hustling because I had a lot to learn. So it was like really an all day, every day, multi week, month affair.
Right.
But now, you know, that would take me less than a day, what would take me months.
Right.
So,
and that's almost why in the beginning, there's no point in trying to think through things, because in the beginning, that's when you get a course, all the steps are laid out for you. You don't have to theorize anything. You just follow the steps as they are, one by one. And then there's no other way to get through like a huge stack of things to do. If you have a huge stack of papers on your desk, you can't think about, okay, when I get to this one, I'm going to do this. When I get to this one, I'm going to do this. You just got to start taking things off, knocking things out. So that's the theorizer.
All right, so you want me to read this?
No, I'll read it.
Okay.
So the next one we have is the masterminder. And the masterminder is addicted to courses, enjoys the dopamine hit of watching the course and talking in communities instead of doing the work.
Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of these, and I don't think we really have a lot of these in our community, to be honest. But I just remember this is why we never made a Facebook group for our courses, because we used to join courses and we would be in Facebook groups and stuff. And you want to see people in there like bullshitting all day, just responding, and you know, they hang out. They hang out in the groups, they hang out in the communities. And the more time that you do this, usually results in you probably are doing less on the back end and less in your own business.
Yeah.
So I think the good thing is masterminding is actually very, very important when you're starting out. Like, especially back in the day, we were doing Kindle. I mean, even in land, it's important. And, you know, dropshipping too. We've been involved in, you could say, masterminds, but we've, you know, talked to people, and it's a very, very helpful way to learn. It's probably one of the best ways to learn. When you have a group of people that are all on the same level and they're all working together towards a common goal, that can really streamline success. But again, it's not there for a hangout. It's not there for you know, social activity. It's there for you to go get questions answered, ping off other people, see where they're at, and then keep it moving and get back to doing what you should be doing.
Right, exactly. Be careful of the social aspect, I guess.
Well, yeah, because it's like, you know, you go to class and instead of actually watching the class, you're just hanging out, talking to people in the back of the room and whatever. And you never actually...
Isn't one of your big gripes when you were studying chemical engineering was study groups or something?
Oh, yeah. I hate groups. Group studying. It makes no sense. Because everybody just goes there and they just wind up talking.
Can't you like quiz each other on the flashcards or something?
I'm not with that. I feel like, at least for me, the way that... I think for most people, when it comes to doing stuff like that, you have to get into like a deep work type mind state.
Yeah, I've seen on YouTube, people will do these. I mean, this isn't really a study group, but they'll do like study with me for 10 hours. And it's just them studying for 10 hours. Like,
yeah. I mean, whenever I would go to, you know, a group of people studying, like I would just wind up not doing anything. Like, I'm going to keep using the word bullshit over the course of this video, because I feel like that's the end result of a lot of these things. You just wind up bullshitting. So
I don't know what movie this is from. So,
oh, this is Ocean's 11.
Okay.
I feel like that this is masterminding at its finest.
Okay.
So I was going to ask if you had a Facebook group. Well, MM, we have a Discord, but you have to be a member to be involved. He said, masterminds enjoy watching success stories.
I'm not sure maybe what he means by that.
Yeah, I don't know. Typically, if you're in a mastermind, you should be on the same level as the other people, or at least close. We were at one point in a mastermind for high-level dropshippers. And by high-level dropshippers, that meant that you had a monthly revenue over $30,000.
I don't really remember that.
You don't remember that?
Was that the one that we made?
We did not make it. But a lot of other so-called prominent dropshippers were a part of that.
Okay.
The barrier was $30,000 a month.
Oh, okay. I remember the one that we made.
Did we make it?
I think maybe we kind of branched off from that with the people that were having more success, because that's how, you know, we became friends with the sex toy guy. And
yeah, maybe we were all in that like $30,000 plus mastermind. But nowadays $30,000 a month is like low level.
You can't buy 10,000 with 30,000.
Yep. That's the truth. So that's the masterminder. Up next, what do we got? Up next, third archetype is the self-help junkie. So the self-help junkie thinks that they need to upgrade their mindset, get past their emotional barriers, something internal, in order to achieve success. What do you have to say about that?
I think this is one of the worst ones in terms of, like, if you're in this category, ironically, you really need some help. I don't know. But maybe it's not self-help. You might need some sort of, like, other help to get past this.
Like therapy?
Yeah, or, like, something like that. But I feel like if you're in a self-help rabbit hole and, like, you have to keep ingesting self-help materials, thinking that, oh, this next date with destiny or this next thing is going to get me to where I want to go. I don't know. I feel like that's – you're in deep then.
Yeah. Yeah. And, again, I feel like there's value to, you know, reading a Tony Robbins book or doing these things. They could set you on a good path. But true, at some level, I mean, if you're spending $5,000 to go to a date with destiny because you feel like that's going to put you in the mind frame to take action and start up a friggin' dropshipping business versus just buying like a $2,500 course and just doing the course. You're right. You're in a bit too deep here.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there's people that will like spend like 5-6 figures on self-help conferences and stuff, like for no reason.
Like it doesn't. Well, right. Like Tony Robbins has like a, you know, a friggin' diamond mastermind, and again, these kind of go hand in hand, right? There's way more expensive packages, I'm sure, that are offered at a Tony Robbins group. This is just the first level into the funnel. And I'm sure people in there are successful. And I'm sure people in there just are blowing money just to mastermind, just to be a part of the community. And some people are doing it, again, because it is a distraction from doing the real work of accomplishing what it is you want to accomplish. It's a diversion.
You know what I don't like about this when it comes to self-help that's been kind of commoditized is that I feel like you never really – you'd have to probably – I don't know how much you'd have to pay to get access to the person that you're inspired by. So, and I mean, I think when the way CoffeeZilla talks about Andrew Tate's course is a good example of this. Tony Robbins is like another good example. I'm looking on Tony Robbins' website right now. If you get like business coaching, you're meeting with one of Tony Robbins' coaches. Like, you know, it's not him exactly. And I feel like that's kind of a problem because he is the person.
Right. There's a long way you got to go up the funnel to get to the one-on-one with Tony Robbins. I mean, you got to be a president. You got to be already successful in your own right to achieve that. And on one level, I understand it because if you're handing out one-on-ones to everybody that wants it, you're not Tony Robbins anymore.
No. Yeah, of course. I understand it from his perspective. But I'm just saying that if Tony Robbins is the real genius here, I don't want to pay money to meet with one of his business coaches. Like, I want to meet with him.
Right. Yeah. If like... Who are these people giving out business coaching? And are they actually going to help you in whatever your business is? Like, that's the whole problem, is that it's not niched down enough, I feel like, to be of meaning.
Right. It's like you have Tony Robbins and then the wage cucks.
Yeah.
Under
what him. Are the Tony Robbins wage cuck going to tell you about running your business?
Yeah, that's what I don't get. And you know, I don't know for sure, but this mentor and then the wage cucks under them, you know, might be prominent in other online courses.
Oh, of course. I mean,
and I feel like it's a bit of a, it's not a course I would buy. I feel like, you know what? Let me get even further down. I think we could talk about this a little more because I feel like whenever we, our experience with this masterminder at the top, wage cucks at the bottom, and you're dealing with the wage cucks directly. I feel like it's never worked out well for us.
Right. I would rather deal with, like, if I'm making $10,000 a month and I want to get to $20,000, I would rather work one-on-one with the person making like 15 or 20 versus going to the person making $100 million and having to deal with one of their minions.
Perfect. Yes. Do you know what I'm talking about? How we dealt with this pretty recently?
Like the expensive course that we bought?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a problem. It's a real problem. So you got their minions feeding us some lines that they were trained on. Yeah. And they don't understand. Like, they don't get it. Like, they're not. Unless you're doing what we're doing, they don't know. It's just, it's that simple.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You got to be working one-on-one with the person that is somewhat above you. And that's usually easier than, you know. And I want to say, I mean, I've read some Tony Robbins books. I don't know if you got those, that Tony Robbins, not cassettes, but like DVDs or what
well, yeah, I got like them. CDs. Ironically, I got those when doing retail arbitrage at a garage sale. This woman had like all these unsealed Tony Robbins things.
Yeah. She didn't take action.
No, she didn't take action. She just bought the package from the infomercial.
Yeah. Yeah. But actually, no, I like a lot of his content a lot. Because I feel like for me, it helped. Number one, he has some good productivity stuff. You know, good mindset stuff. But again, this is all about like when you take it too far, you know what I'm saying? It's good to absorb some of this content and then apply it towards what you're doing. But you can't just be endlessly going down the self-help path until you become this actualized online business and light in person. And meanwhile, you haven't even like called a supplier.
Right. We're not talking about our boy Tone here. We're talking about the self-help junkie that you could become.
Yes. Yes. Tim said, one of my VAs worked for Kevin David and actually seek me out to work for me somehow. He's not currently working for me, but I'm trying to get him to speak on a podcast that I'm working on. Damn. Interesting. Business for a Better Life. Is that the podcast? I don't know. Tim's an interesting guy.
Moving on. Let's. What's the next archetype? Wait, what is this one?
The manifester. So the manifester is convinced the key to their success will be more affirmations and rituals to bring success to them.
This is a bit of overlap with the self-help thing. I don't know. I think you're bigger on manifesting. I don't know where I'm at with it. I don't know if I believe in it at all.
I believe in it. I believe in it in the way that if you set your sights on something and you focus on something, it's more likely to happen. And I don't think it's anything illogical. I feel like it has to do with what we were talking about with Granger the other week about how, you know, if you call a supplier and you're 100% convinced that you're going to manifest getting a bunch of suppliers and you're acting from that that belief system, I feel like the confidence is going to come off in your voice. And if you just proceed with that frame, it's going to bring more success than not doing that, than being less confident about it or not having like, a solid frame about what should happen.
Yeah. I mean, I believe in that much of it. I just, I think there could be a gap between how hard you're manifesting and the success you get out of it.
Well, what I wrote here was The good things about the manifestor is that belief and goal setting is essential to avoid self-sabotage. And what I mean by that is I take it back to my Kindle days. Kindle was the first time I ever really had success doing online business. And I attribute a lot of that to the fact that I was getting in there every day. And I was, you good?
Yeah. Stuck on the.
I was getting in there every day and I was writing down my goals. I was writing down the amount of money I wanted to make in that amount of time and what I was going to do to get there and why I was going to do that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that caused me to take way more action into that, to where I actually like overachieved what those goals were. If I went into that without doing anything like that, it's 100% certain I probably wouldn't have stayed up till, you know, 2 a.m. every night to get out another book or, you know, do these certain things. But when, you know, you're committed to something and you set goals for yourself, they're more likely to happen because you hold yourself accountable.
Right. What I'm saying is all that is good, but I think there's a class of manifester where the manifestation is not coinciding with the what you're talking about, like the work, and also the thing you're manifesting on is not something that's manifestable. So if you're manifesting that you want MILF coin to go to the moon, then you're going to be in trouble.
Right. And so actually my manifestor bad side was the manifestor believes everything that goes wrong is a result of their vibe being off.
Yeah.
They attribute every failure to the fact that they did something wrong to where it didn't manifest.
Right.
Yeah. Trying to manifest the stock market. I don't know. You know, I don't know. Because even like these books, like The Power of Now and all those things, I mean, they talk about that type of thing being possible. And, you know, actually there's an interview with Tony Robbins at one of the friggin' diamond masterminds at Tony Robbins's house with Conor McGregor. And Conor McGregor is talking about how, you know, he's big into that, like visualization and stuff like that. And, you know, he'd be driving around and he'd try and like manifest a good parking spot.
Yeah.
And you know, Conor McGregor is very, very big on, visualization and stuff like that, but it has to be complementary of doing the work, right? You can't just like be visualizing you're gonna go and be a champion when you're not in the gym and putting in, you know, all the time to bring your body and your actual skills in line with that.
I think it probably definitely helped him with the training part of it, but I don't know if it's gonna work for parking spots.
But that's the thing, Joe. If we're in a simulation, then it's possible.
It is possible, but yeah, I don't know.
I like how I actually just noticed this. I like how he's wearing the watch.
He's got to know what time it is.
What about the third eye?
That's true. Maybe because he's always traveling to different time zones and whatnot.
That's true. But yeah, Joe.
You know, there's something I've always wanted in my life ever since I was like 18 and I felt it slipping away from me. And I manifested it a lot and it just, I never got it. And so maybe I'm a little bit bitter on that. But actually right now, I think I might be catching a little bit of a vibe. Like I feel like when looking at this picture of Sadhguru or whatever, I think I might be able to do it.
What are you trying to manifest?
Give me a second. I'm gonna try really hard to do it right now.
Okay. MM's gonna manifest $100 million a year. I don't know where Joe went. I think he went to manifest something in the bathroom. But anyway, we'll take some more chats. If you go to Burning Man next year, it will.
Oh my God. It worked. I can't believe it worked. I manifested my hair back. All these years, I wanted it and wanted it. I kept trying to manifest it, and I didn't think it was possible. But now I know.
Oh, man, that's good. That's good. Well, MM says he's manifesting that he makes $100 million a year. And this, I think, is the problem. Because start with $1 million a year.
Well, yeah, what were you – so when you were doing the Kindle manifestation, like, what was your manifesting – what was your third eye set on?
I have to go look, man.
Like, the specific things. Like, it was I'm going to make $3,000 a month from this. Like, it wasn't crazy.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't, like, $100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, $3,000 or, you know, and then I think I upped it to, like, $8,000 and then, you know, I hit that. But – things that were, you know, achievable. It's something that in my brain, in my current brain at that time, seemed out of reach. Now it's not, obviously. But at the time, I really attribute that to kind of forcing my brain into, again, getting to somewhere that I didn't believe existed. $3,000 a month for making money online was incredible at the time. Now it's child's play, but you have to take those steps in your mind and in your belief system in order to get there.
I think the key takeaway, takeaway with all this is that you shouldn't be trying to manifest stuff that's out of reach. And you need to really evaluate with like what's within reach and what's out of reach. Because you could be wrong that, you know, you might – I think sometimes you could set maybe your manifestations too high and then – you'll never get there and it could be discouraging. I don't think there's anything wrong with setting your manifestations too low and hitting it. But there is a balance though, because you could set it too high and then hit something under it and that's still good.
Right.
But I think it might be better to set the manifestations low.
Especially, I mean, you got to make sure that things working first.
Yeah.
You got to start manifesting small stuff.
Yeah.
And then you can work on bigger and bigger things. But yeah, I feel like this mindset was actually really, really important for, you know, pushing my brain to that next level. Because, I mean, you know, we talk to the average person and they just don't even believe that making money online is a thing. Now more people do. You know how like Trevor, one of our students, was getting the ads for dropshipping at like 12 years old.
Yeah.
Like for us, it was a whole separate world that we had no frame for. So, Joe, people are joining like fucking wildfire once you got the hair. I think we're on.
I told you. I think caught it.
Manifestations are really are growing.
I think just talking about that is activating like all my chakras, actually.
Yeah. This is you right now. This is Joe walking through the ether with all of his follicles activating. So anyway, that's the manifester. It came just Joe looking like the next TikTok star. Do a little dance, Joe. All right. Seen enough. That's the manifester. What do we got up next?
TikTok's getting banned.
Oh, wait. TikTok, I hope. I'm not even on it, but I hope. What's this one, Joe?
Hold on, I gotta look. The bouncer.
Is it the bouncer? So it actually goes along with something M. Zuber was saying before. I'll come back to it in a second. But the bouncer bounces from idea to idea, from idea to idea, model to model, similar to the masterminder, but never sticks with or wholeheartedly believes in any model, finds an excuse to make it not work. This is a huge one.
Yeah, I'm looking at this guy, and he's obviously like a club bouncer, but you're talking about someone bouncing around to things. So there was a disconnect in my brain.
Right. Yes. I mean, these are both bouncers, but the bouncer, as we're talking about it, is one of the bad archetypes of making money online is someone, they bounce around too much. They're doing this course and then they're doing a different course and then they're, thinking of, you get the idea. They're right. Bouncing around instead of just sticking with something.
You know, Mike, if I could skip ahead a couple slides, because I came up with this archetype, the varsity jacket archetype, and it's not that much different than the bouncer, because the varsity jacket archetype, this is someone that maybe they were a sports star in high school and you see them 30 years later at their reunion or you see them at Walmart and they're wearing their varsity jacket because that was like the high point in their lives and they've never like done anything that they're happy with after that. So this, I think the bouncer and the varsity jacket person could go hand in hand, because sometimes you have success at one thing and it's the most successful you're ever going to be. And you don't approach the next thing with the same, I guess, gusto that you did the first thing.
You know, the same level of hunger.
Right. And I feel like we have some students like this. So like we have some students that maybe they make some money with some other business model and they think, let me just not put my full effort into drop shipping and I'm going to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So in my mind, the difference between these two is the bouncer is somebody that never achieves a success.
Right.
Because they never get over the hump of actually putting in the work. The varsity captain actually put in the work and did well at one point. And we'll get to that. I don't want to skip ahead.
Right.
But the bouncer never actually gets there because they're too – once the obstacles come up and it's the dopamine is over for that course and, it's time to grind, they find an excuse to not do it and then they, bounce to something else.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is arguably one of the most common ones.
Yeah, and this is something I think we've certainly fallen into. And here's the thing. Sometimes some business models are shit. And you need to bounce off of them.
Well, I think we've done – see, us doing it, I think, has been a little bit more of the varsity jacket thing. Because I feel like there are some things that we did where, it's just like we didn't – go into it the same way we went into drop shipping or went into Kindle or like went into SEO for that matter, or went into land. What's the thing I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like just some random stuff. Like just maybe I tried to get into like lead gen or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Like, I mean, I've definitely experienced that. Like I bought like a local lead gen course. And I thought like, yeah, let me get into this because I've already been successful with this other stuff. But in my mind, I'm like, once the idea of it wasn't as appealing and the dopamine wore off, I was like, screw this. I'm not doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But again, that's more varsity than the bouncer. When I thought of the bouncer, I was almost thinking of ourselves in the beginning where we would buy like a $27, like Luther Landro course about how to sell leads to dentists. And then we would go and like, it comes time to make the website or like do a certain thing. And then we just get hit with this wall of resistance. I mean, partly because we probably didn't believe it was going to work. And partly because there were many steps left out. And so whatever, you just stop doing it for a day and then, maybe you do a little bit the next day and then you stop doing it for 2 days and then all momentum is lost and you're not going to get it back. And then you try and find something else that looks easier or looks more up your alley or looks more doable.
Yeah.
And then you repeat the cycle again. And this is the type of person that could wind up as a masterminder. They could wind up as a self-help junkie. All because, again, they're never able to bounce over that first wall of having that initial success online. Tim says you might as well call the bouncer Tim Skells, but luckily it's finally all coming together. It just took way longer than it would have if I wasn't out there bouncing. Well, I don't know what else you did, Tim, that was you felt like you bounced around, but I feel like you actually, I don't see this in you at all, because I think the fact that you've stuck around as long as you have, when certain things haven't gone your way, I think that actually speaks volumes, and that's not really, you're not bouncing.
Well, I think he definitely is juggling a lot of things.
There's juggling, yeah.
So I don't think the bouncer fits him, because he's not like, oh, this went wrong, this business model is shit.
Yeah.
So I we should have had a juggler one.
We should have a juggler. Echo Flips says, hands down, if I never watched CoffeeZilla, I would be at least $20,000 richer. Interesting.
I don't know if that's sarcasm.
Well, he's been in our stream before. I don't think he's like a random CoffeeZilla troll.
No, I know. But I don't know. I don't know if he's being sarcastic.
I mean, it could be serious, right? Like, if you spend your time wallowing just watching CoffeeZilla videos thinking everybody's bullshitting, then it probably result in you not doing something.
So I like CoffeeZilla. I do, but I just don't. He doesn't get it.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't he make money from his videos? He must.
I mean, I'm sure he makes money from YouTube ads, I'm sure. He probably has some sort of Patreon or something.
He said he's not trolling.
So do you mean that you were so...
Why don't you tell us, Echo Flips, what's going on?
Yeah, were you so turned off to online business via CoffeeZilla that you didn't pursue anything?
Yeah. Game Crystal said, hands down, if I never watched a Build Assets Online video, I would be at least $20,000 richer. I don't know how that's true. I mean, you're in here still watching, so the money might be evaporating into thin air.
20K, that's a lot.
Here we go, Joe. This is your favorite one.
Well, I talked about, the high school varsity, yeah. I feel like we talked about this, but I don't know. I think we already covered it, so we don't got to cover it again.
Well, no, I do want to cover it, because we could talk about it more in depth this time. So this one, unlike the bouncer, the high school varsity captain has accomplished something. They've had success. I think we do fall into this a little bit. Because when you have that success, when you climb the mountain once and you got to go back down, it's tough to do it again.
Yeah.
There's something that happens where you have like a little bit of success. It almost makes it harder to do other things. Because like when you're broke, I feel like you have more hunger to go and grind and do those things, because you have nothing else to do. But when you have, money coming in and you you've done well, it creates a lot more resistance to going and doing like some hustling shit.
Yeah. And I think this is the problem with the high school varsity captain athlete sometimes, is that it came so easy to them in high school. All the girls, all the glory, all the attention, they're at the top. And then when something doesn't come so easy, It's like, oh my God.
Yeah. And you wind up with the beer gut because you never, everything came easy in the beginning. You never had to actually work on yourself and, hustle it out after that.
I was always amazed, actually, in high school, there were these really good athletes and they would like smoke cigarettes sometimes, but like they could like dunk a basketball and like, like run way faster than me. And I think that's just like, it goes to speak at that when you're that age, you can get away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And in some business models, you can get away with more than others.
Yeah.
But yeah. And that's why, like when I first started doing land, I knew I'd have to let dropshipping suffer, like not pay as much attention to that and just let go of any success that I had in the past in order to make that work. because I knew if I tried to like cling to, oh, I know what I'm doing because, you know, I've done this before, it's just going to hinder you. You have to go in with a blank slate and be willing to learn everything, every nook and cranny of detail until you get to the result that you want. So, yeah, it can certainly hurt you when it comes to your previous success leading to a lack of motivation to do something new.
Yeah. We got a little bit of chit chat here about CoffeeZilla in the chat. So let's see. So Echo Flips, or Here Is Flips, he's saying that he realized most online courses are the shortcut. The majority of online courses save you so much time and money. Not buying courses because they are a scam is a brokey mindset. I don't know. I never heard that word before.
Broke boy.
And then Zarantha says, I think your take took CoffeeZilla's message the wrong way. He's telling you to watch out for scams, that all online courses are bunk. I don't agree with you, Zaranthus, because I've heard CoffeeZilla say time and time again, when it comes to learning a business model, there's so much free stuff. There's so much free stuff that you can learn online. There's so many great free courses or cheap courses. I don't know if he's ever said like cheap courses on Udemy, but that's certainly been implied, is that you don't have to pay over $1,000 for some good guidance. And I wholeheartedly disagree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because to make a course that's over $1,000, it takes a lot of time. If you're going to get access to certain people, you know, these things cost. It's not like you're paying $10,000 to get access to the wage cuck.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about our course. I mean, our course has been out for a while now, maybe like 3 years at this point, but our course was also 7 years in the making, even though we weren't making it. Like, we had to have the experience to make the course. Now, and that's invaluable, and I'm not going to give that away for free. I'm not going to make a step-by-step guide that's going to shortcut 7 years of our work for free or for $10. That's just not going to happen. Now, on the flip side of that, there are a lot of people that sell courses for business models that they haven't been successful with, or business models that they haven't even done. But that's what you got to watch out for. And CoffeeZilla does do a decent job at exposing that, but he doesn't see the other side of the coin.
Right. I mean, but that's where I haven't watched CoffeeZilla, so I don't know if I'm getting this wrong, but to talk shit about like the Hustlers University thing, even though it's not Andrew Tate teaching these things, it's only $47 a month. But that's what you should expect for such a cheap price point.
Yeah, I don't want to get too much into the Hustlers University thing. I feel like we'd really have to watch it to comment on it fully. We could talk about the fact that he doesn't teach the course, which I could see the point of it. Yeah, you're right. At that price point, I'm not expecting much. That's a right. given. But I would expect that, given that he's such a strong personality, you know, I understand the gripe, but that's what I'm paying for. But either way, I don't think it's worth going too much into that, because we would just be speculating too much.
Right. But I think that CoffeeZilla mindset of like these like expensive courses are scams will actually lead somebody into buying a cheaper course because, oh, you know, it's all the same and you can get it all for free or whatever. But like the cheaper stuff is what shit.
Yeah.
Because like I said, why would I spend 7 years of my life learning something to put it into a detailed course, step by step, revealing, you know, all these little things that took us years to learn, and then sell it for $47. If I sell something for $47, you're going to treat it like it's $47. You're not going to give a shit about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure Andrew Tate, most likely, much like Liver King and much like other online, you know, people that amass big audiences, I'm pretty confident that they have it all planned out. Like, they know their demographic. Like, Andrew Tate knows that he's talking to young men that are probably actually broke and that aren't going to spend, you know, $2,000 on a course. Yeah. So I think that's all very intentional.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a bad thing. But again, like, the cheap courses beget a lot of these things. You're more likely to bounce around. You're more likely to just, you know, get bad information and all these things. So,
but there are a lot of it. I don't want to say that with such confidence, Mike, because there, yes, I will agree with what you're saying, but it doesn't make all expensive courses good.
True. This is the dichotomy of the whole thing. We've been involved in a lot of shit expensive courses. I mean, we just bought one like 2 weeks ago that was like $1,700. It might have actually been one of the worst courses I've ever seen in my life. We got a refund on it. And so, but that's the key thing, right? If there's a refund policy, which any good course is going to have, then it's no harm, no foul. But when you're paying, like, when you're paying for done for you type shit, that's where you get into real trouble.
Yeah.
Because you're not actually learning anything. Somebody has to deliver on these promises. That's a whole mess, and it's way more expensive, right? So, like, $1,000 to $3,000, $1,000 to $5,000, you could say. That's where I think a lot of the realness lies, and a lot of the, like, do it yourself or do it with help type things lie. You're loving this hairdo, Joe.
Nah, I gotta take it off. It's actually making me really itchy.
Our viewership's gonna go way down. Oh my god.
MM says, was it Kevin David's course that you bought for $1,700? No.
No, we got a refund on it. But and there was a course that we got access to that was like a $5,000 course, like one of the biggest courses for that industry. And it was so bad.
I would never buy, yeah, but as an aside, I would never buy one of Kevin David's products or Dan Loke or Ty Lopez. Like, there is zero chance I would ever buy any of their stuff without, like, I don't even.
Because they're not like doing any of these things.
They're not doing anything. Like, their message is so convoluted that they're not focusing in on a business model or a particular thing I want to learn.
Right. And that's also another way to filter through, right? Like, none of these larger than life people are going to be teaching you how to do like the super niche thing. You could tell. You could tell. You just don't be an idiot. Like, does this person actually know what they're talking about when it comes to this thing that I'm trying to learn? Exactly. That's it. Anything more to add, or should I move on to the final archetype here?
I do want to mention on the Dan Loke thing, and I don't know much about him, but from what I understand, his main thing is like sales, becoming like a high ticket closer or something. And I feel like it's very non-specific. Like, what are you going to be selling?
Right, but actually, Joe, I know somebody that's a big Dan Loke fan.
I know who you're. Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay. Right. Who?
That's what I'm saying. I feel like in his particular case, I feel like he is kind of focused around sales, and you have to be in kind of a place already to get benefit out of something like that.
Right. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine buying something on sales when you don't have anything that's like to sell or like know that you're going to sell.
Yeah.
I think that's a recipe for a disaster too. Tim said, I don't think Kevin David is legally allowed to sell courses anymore. Even that's what he's being sued for. How is that even possible? How could you like institute something like that? I don't know. Anyway, we got the last one here.
Wait, is this Darwin picture separate?
Or is this part of the same archetype?
No, but is this part of the same image?
No, it's two images together.
Okay.
This is the non-believer.
You know what I've always found interesting about these prominent atheist figures like Charles Darwin and Daniel Dennett? I feel like they oftentimes...
You know who this person is?
It's Charles Darwin.
No, no, the guy on the left.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh.
But Daniel Dennett, he basically, they grow out their beard and their like their beard mad long and white. I feel like they try to look like God.
That's the thing, right?
But I don't even think Charles Darwin was like a real atheist. But anyway.
No, no, he's not. I thought about this because people have like the bumper stickers that's like the Jesus fish, but it says Darwin in the middle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. They go hand in hand. Anyway, the non-believer. So what's a non-believer, Joe?
This is someone that doesn't believe and make that making money online works at all. And I feel like what we've been talking about, people like CoffeeZilla have created a whole army of these non-believers.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's unfortunate, right? It's unfortunate to be brainwashed into non-belief about this when you know that it's true.
And it's interesting to see the parallels. It's very interesting to see the parallels. And, like, I guess the parallels of or the downside of religion taking a backseat is that people, they don't have much meaning in their lives as much as maybe they used to. The parallels of becoming a non-believer in online business is that you're broke, that you have no chance of.
Yeah.
But then you take it too far. You have the Salem witch trials, and then you have Amazon automation. You get where I'm going with that?
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin David is the modern day Salem witch trial executor. But
is this brilliant? Is this brilliant analysis, or is it not really that good?
I'm loving it. I don't know. People are in here talking, but yeah, it is unfortunate when your non-belief is weaponized. Like the CoffeeZilla thing, right? Because what does it give you besides for a bitter attitude?
Yeah, I don't know.
And, you know, there are people that, you know, they take certain things and then they believe, like, and then, you know, they have these believer experiences. They, you know, talk to whoever. They talk to something higher than themselves. And, you know, that's one thing. And then with online business, you know, you can do that too. If I'm here, I'm refreshing my friggin' Shopify. Who is a CoffeeZilla friggin' follower to comment on a YouTube page telling me that I'm you know, it doesn't exist? I'm sitting here, I'm taking it easy. I'm looking at my Shopify. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, I love when we got comments like scam.
Yeah. Well, and all that does is discourage other people from, you know, reaching that alternate dimension for themselves. But that's the thing, right? Like, there are scams out there. There are scams out there. We've gotten scammed. But, I mean, there's scams out there with everything. I got scammed for a suit out in Thailand. Doesn't mean suits are a scam.
Our dad got scammed for like 10 leather jackets.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what does that say about leather jackets? You know, leather jacket salesman.
After telling us you shouldn't trust anyone.
And well, that's why, you know, he's trying to pass on the knowledge.
No, saying before that. I just thought
that Yeah.
I thought that was really funny.
I think that was before my time.
No. Oh, you might have been, I think you were in college.
Oh.
I think you were away and I was like living at home.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm at home right now. Where are the leather jackets?
Apparently they stunk.
Yeah, yeah.
There was like problems with them. It's such a weird scam to run. Like to be selling leather jackets in the Starbucks parking lot. Saying that like you got to go back to Italy and you got to, you know, you can't take them with you. I don't know. It's some crazy thing.
Yeah, people are just psychopaths, you know?
I mean, you got to be kind of smart to come up with it. Like, or super stupid to come up with some of this stuff.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it is. On the flip side, though, I actually, I go to, like, North Jersey to do, like, some personal training sometimes. And there's this guy that like shares part of the gym, that his whole business is he stores like leather jackets and like furs and like expensive coats for people.
He stores them?
Yeah.
People can't keep them in their own closet?
No, I don't know. No. It's an insane business model. All he has is like a closet.
That's great.
I guess he like cleans them maybe too. He upkeeps them. But he'll just wheel in like a whole friggin' thing of coats and go into a little area and then that's it. He's just storing the coats.
That's he's either really hustling or he's really taking it ease.
My trainer was saying he's like crushes it. He's like very rich. So
what is that thing that's I'm a
veteran. Yes, Tim. Did your taxi driver take you to the suit shop, Mike? Classic Thailand scam. Happened with my roommate, and he's actually still stoked on it and got the guy's number and stays in touch with him. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's like a whole – like, I got suits out of it, and they weren't that expensive, but my story was, like, kind of crazy because it wasn't just, like, directly from the tuk-tuk to the suit shop. It was, like, this one particular day where – like a lot of things were closed. And so we were in a tuk-tuk. We were trying to go somewhere and then we couldn't go there. So we like stopped at this other place. And then this place that we stopped at, we talked to this random guy and he was talking about suits. And then we went to like a temple and the guy at the temple was like talking about suits. It was like an elaborate friggin' scheme to get us to the suit shop. And eventually we did get to the suit shop and we all bought suits. So, but I wore the suits for a while. They weren't bad, honestly.
Hold on. Let's MM says, that's why I eventually went with Ernest Epps. He's fat, but he seems legit. And then he says, man, I am 100% committed to making this dropshipping thing work. It has to work. Well, what I will say is, I feel that we have the most in-depth knowledge when it comes to all-around dropshipping success than any of the gurus out there. And I say that matter-of-factly, objectively. I truly believe that when it comes to ads and it comes to SEO and it comes to getting people to your site, we got the best methods.
Yeah, I really do think that. Even where'd it go? Where'd our boy go? He was did he delete his comment?
Who?
Game Control was saying the course changed his life. And then he deleted it, so maybe it didn't change his life.
And maybe not.
Oh no, here it is. If you're watching this and debating it, the Bao course is literally life-changing. I'll be completely honest. There you go.
There you have it, folks.
BuildAssetsOnline.com/class.
That is not a paid testimonial. He paid us to make the testimony.
That's what you want. But this is free. BuildAssetsOnline.com/class. And you know what? If you don't like what we tell you in the free class, then, you know, keep watching the free content or, you know, screw off, whatever.
If you don't like it, maybe that means that we need to consult Dan Loke.
Yeah, we got to get our sales skills up. And that's also a big thing, right? Like, so much of belief is totally separate from, like, content and, like, the actual quality of something. It's just about the presentation of it and, you know, how confident you are when you talk about it and all these things. So you can essentially put up a facade to get people kind of like in the door of thinking you have something to offer. But I think a lot of times, like, you can only put up that facade in like a short videos or one particular thing. You can't be coming on to something like every week and keep the facade up. Eventually it's going to crack. Your real personality is going to be revealed.
Well, let me, that is true to an extent, But I think it comes back to what exactly you're talking about on that podcast, because people are really good at talking. So all these people all have long form like podcasts out there. I mean, Liver King's on podcast saying he doesn't do steroids, never touch the stuff. Andrew Tate is on many long form podcasts as well. So I think it comes back again to what is the facade about? Like, what is it that you're talking about on this stuff? Do you have a good gimmick, a good shtick that you stick to? Like, well, I guess what I'm saying is there's probably nothing out there where Kevin David is talking about Amazon automation for an hour, but there might be something out there where he's talking about like something related, like mindset or something, or like hustling. But again, that's what you have to be careful of.
Exactly.
If you listen to Andrew Tate and you can extract useful things from his information or from the generalized advice, or Tony Robbins, you can extract things from the generalized advice. That's one thing, but it's a whole separate thing to expect them to teach you drop shipping.
Exactly. That's the exact point right there. So, hey, Aaron said the course is 100% worth it. The Discord is the best I've been in. It's not like other Discords with a bunch of spam and weirdos.
Yeah, Discord channels are like, I joined the broke apes, or what is it? Like when the crypto stuff was
the broke, the broke apes. That's what they are now.
Yeah, I joined
bored apes.
Yeah, the bored apes.
But
yeah. When I joined it, it was like I joined like one of the Discords. Like, oh, because people kept referring to it as a community. And it was like nothing. Like, it was just people just spamming stuff and saying like, hey, apes, yeah, what's up?
You can't just create a community. Like, that's like the whole thing, right? Like, people have to be coming together for a certain reason, not just to pump and dump these freaking apes. You know, like they have no reason to be like talking to each other. Yeah, that's all ridiculous. But yeah, I guess that's really that's about it. What we got left in the chats here? Zoranthius said, real leather does require maintenance. You need to treat it with oils or it dries and cracks. There you go. It's a whole business model right
maybe
there.
Maybe he's got the coat business model. Maybe it's him.
Yeah. Yeah, Tim, they said, you know, you can't go here, it's Buddha Day, whatever. Yeah, which a lot of it was bullshit, but I think it actually was Buddha Day. I don't know. There's a lot of like Buddha days in Thailand, I feel like. Yeah, but you can't get good suits in Thailand. Shout out Thailand. So I want to point out one thing here. MM's like, man, I'm 100% committed to making this thing work. I joined the Ernest Epps course, whatever. And then he's off theorizing.
he's sweating about it too.
Yeah.
Not just theorizing of looking up into the stars, but like really getting worked up.
He's theorizing it. So, right, like, I mean, look at Tim Skells here. Tim has been through hell and back with dropshipping. Even if I answered this question for you, what would it matter?
Yeah,
how you're going to actually find out is if you do the thing. You're not going to avoid it. You're going to get chargebacks. You're going to, I don't know. Everybody wants the treasure map, Joe.
Yeah.
I've never seen Indiana Jones, but I imagine it's something like that.
Me neither. I don't even know what it's about.
Well, he's trying to get the Ark of the Covenant. He has to go into like the jungle, and there's like booby traps and stuff. Everybody's worried about the booby traps.
Yeah, I have the opposite problem, I think.
What's like that?
Well, like, for example, remember when I was like super into StarCraft 2 and like, you know, I would like play all day and then try to get a workout in. I feel like if I would have like if I had a routine where I like worked out, theorized for like an hour or two in the morning, like, and then played, then I would have been way better. But I felt like it was such a waste of time to not play. I had to always be taking the action.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, look at the gamer stereotype, right? Like, they're fat with the Mountain Dew. And they're the best. Because they're not working out.
Yeah, so I look at it like a lot of the thing. It's not always true nowadays. There are a lot of
Chad gamers.
It's more common, but some of like the really good people I see at like Dota and stuff, you could tell like all of their energy is focused in the brain region.
Yeah. It is very brain focused, but I think we made all this content just to say, you got to just get in there and do stuff. You got to just be committed to the thing. And eventually it'll come together. It might not take a month. It might not take 2 months. It might take several months. It might take a year. But if you just robotically put in the action, you will get a decent result out of it.
Absolutely. All
these things can help influence you in order to take action. But when you do these things in replace of the action, you become this right here.
Game Control 21 says he's a Chad gamer.
Or you become this. When you're doing this instead of just calling the suppliers, you've gone too far. This is my favorite picture of the whole thing.
Are these bouncers?
When you search bouncer, I don't know what this is.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. But anyways, I guess that's it.
Yeah, I really got nothing else.
I got no more talking, as Birdman says. So, thank you guys for joining in.
Game Control has a Twitter.
You're going to go on his Twitter live right now?
No, I'm looking at it. He's retweeting Andrew Tate.
Dude, I love Andrew Tate. I don't expect him to teach me dropshipping.
I don't really get it. I don't really like a persona.
I don't think he has a persona.
I think he has a persona. I mean, the truth is, Mike, when you're getting in front of a camera so often, there is a persona at play.
I mean, are we putting up personas right now?
A little bit.
Exactly.
But I'm saying I think when you're in front of the camera a lot, there's this weird thing that happens. Whether you believe in your persona or not, I think there's a persona.
Well, I enjoy the persona.
Well, Game Control has 1,000 TikTok followers.
Who's that?
Game Control 21.
Damn. Got to monetize TikTok dropshipping. Anyway, that's it, guys. Buildassetsonline.com/class. Go get your free class. Learn how to create 7 figures worth of online business websites. How we do it. How we've done it. See our products. Go there. Buildassetsonline.com/class. Until next time, take it easy.
Take it easy.